The following programming is sponsored by Home Improvement Fix and Facts. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Saying in her sleep, brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Our House here at WWDB. You are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway, and I am delighted to have you join me on this slightly chilly morning. Whew. There's a crisp in the air, fall is here, the leaves are changing. Oh my goodness, here it comes. Hey, listen, I just want to say to everybody, please get out and vote. Get out and vote. Do your mail-in ballots. You have till the 21st to get that in the mail. Make sure that you vote. Our democracy, our Constitution, the state of America depends on it. So please, 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 I beg of you, get out and vote. Okay, we are live on the air here at WWDB on the radio at 860 AM and the podcast, which you can also check out the podcast or any of my previous podcasts later on when you have some time, because today is a continuation of the cost of building a home. Plus, we will also be talking about what an HOA can actually do in your development, or if you're building into a development. Oh my goodness, that has an HOA. Don't like them. We are also available on Instagram and Facebook if you have any questions. I got questions last week, which was really amazing. So I appreciate that you all listen to me. I want to thank our sponsor, LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding in Brush Smooth Finish. You can visit them at lpcorp.com/Philadelphia Homes. And just to let everybody know that they are such a fabulous product, the LP SmartSide Expert Finish products are designed to be longer lasting with superior protection against the elements. Definitely something that we want to pay attention to, especially with all these storms going on. LP SmartSide Expert Finish products are treated with four components of protection called the Smart Guard process. This adds strength and helps the products withstand impacts, freeze fall cycles, high humidity, fungal decay, and termites, and so much more. If you are considering siding or want to do a replacement on your house, please visit lpcorp.com/Philadelphia Homes. Okay, so we talked last week about the cost of building a house, and we really broke it down into the cost of each person that's coming into your house, to right down from landscaping and getting your land ready for purchasing the land, of course, first, and then excavating, all the way through to building a house and the difference in cost and things like that. And somebody actually sent me a question that said, is it really cheaper to buy a house or build a house? So I pulled up some statistics through Rocket Mortgage. And it says here, and I'm going to share because I found them to be a very reliable source. And if you are ready to buy a house, you know, and you're kind of sitting on the fence between building or buying an existing house, it is still a seller's market. We're seeing that kind of trend a little bit down, but it's still a seller's market. And it's reasonable to consider, maybe you might want to build your house and listen to last week's show, because there was a lot of valuable information there. But the cost of building the house versus buying a house, it really decides on what you're doing. And I broke that down last week. You know, it depends on, do you have champagne taste, but a beer pocket? You know, that's what it comes out to be. So the median sale price of new houses sold, houses built for home ownership and then financed through a mortgage company in January of this past year, so we're almost a full year into it, in 2024 was $420,700. That was kind of the price, with a median average sales price of 500 $34,300. Okay, $500,000 is what we're talking about there. And that's according to U.S. Census Bureau figures. Now, that's just a guideline for you. Remember, it depends on where you're buying. It depends on where you live. It depends on so many different factors when it comes to buying a home. Are you buying a fixer-upper? Are you buying something brand new that was built and slapped up that just barely meets code? You know, and we've talked about that as well. And I mentioned last week, when you are buying a house, you don't ever waive the inspection. Please don't waive the inspection. And if you're building a house, ask your builders to do above and beyond code, especially with the so-called deniers of climate change. It's happening. It really is. Florida had tornadoes, like how many in 20 minutes? It was ridiculous. So the median sale price of an existing home as of January 2024 was under $400,000. So the first numbers I gave you were houses built for homeowners. Now, this one is existing homes. As of January 2024, the existing house market was averaging about $379,100. And that's a 5.1% increase from January 2023, when mortgage rates were climbing up into the 7 percentile range. You know, there's things that you have to consider. Now, we are seeing mortgages coming down. I talked about that a little bit last week and the week before. We're seeing them coming down. I think we're going to see them. I think the election will rule the housing market in many, many ways. I think there's going to be a lot to be said. In my opinion, you know, I've got kids that are in the housing market area, and there are first-time buyer incentives out there right now. And depending on who gets in office, you might want to lock in that mortgage or those financing rates before they no longer exist. If the other side, you can consider who you choose to call the other side, gets in office. But I do know that Kamala Harris is planning on continuing the first-time buyers initiatives with some increases to help people get into their own homes. She's also talking about expanding the housing market by building more multifamily units and individual houses. If you're in that market, I know where my vote's going. To be fair, the cost of an existing home versus building your own, there's so many things that you have to consider. And this is why I really wanted to talk about building your own home, which I spent so much time on last week, because what you have to consider is, if you buy something that is pre-existing and needs work, which is never an issue, especially if you have that DIY person or a construction worker or somebody in the trades in your home or your household, it makes it a little bit more cost affordable. But the cost of renovations that you need to make an existing home livable has to be considered into your budget when buying a new home. And the higher maintenance fees you're likely to face with an existing home. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you have an older house that has old knob and tube electric, you're going to want to replace that. If you have older bathrooms and kitchens, you might want to replace those. You might want to put in a low-flow toilet as opposed to the old anchors that are, you know, 1.8 gallons per flush. The other things that you want to consider is maintenance of the older elements. You know, you might have to replace a roof. You might have to replace gutters. You might have more maintenance and repairs than expected. So really, if you're looking at a fixer-upper, I love fixer-uppers. I wish I would have gotten into that market long, long ago. You know, fix them up and flip them with quality ingredients. There's so many flippers out there that do really crap products. So really be careful with what you're looking at. But there's other things to consider too in a pre-existing home compared to buying. The time, of course, there's the time element, which we talked about last week, from purchasing your land to a finished product that you can move into. You know, some builders will tell you, oh, we can have it done in a year. That's not going to happen. Consider a year and a half or 2 years. You don't know what the elements are going to do. You know, don't know what the weather conditions are going to do. But keep in mind, when you have an older home, you may have less efficient appliances, major appliances. We're talking, you know, ranges, refrigerators, washers, dryers, dishwashers. And some of those can really suck the energy out of your house, driving up your electric bill. If your HVAC system isn't up to par, that can cause a problem, especially if you end up having to replace heating or air conditioning. And we talked about the price of that last week. Go back and listen to the show and you'll know how much it costs to put a new system in. And so that can add to your house. Now, one thing that I will ask you to consider is if you are doing an older home that does need some upgrades, consider buying a home warranty that will cover some of these older items and really, really drill down and read into the warranties. When my husband and I bought our home, the one that we live in now, the first warranty that we bought on the home was crap. It didn't cover barely anything. And every time they came out, there was a $75 fee, no matter what they did. But on top of that, there were a lot of incidentals that weren't covered. So when that one expired, we purchased a new one. And my goodness, was that so much better. So you really want to, if you're buying an older home, pay attention to the home warranties that are out there. Read into that warranty. Call them. Get it in writing from them that they're going to cover a septic system, a well system, what it's going to cost. Are they going to cover the garage door opener? Some of them don't. Are they going to cover different things on the warranty? So keep that in mind. And then depending on where you're building, HOA fees come into play. Depending on where your home is located, an existing home may come with homeowner association fees, otherwise known as an HOA, and attending fees. I'll discuss that in the second half of our show because I am so not a fan of HOAs unless you get yourself on the board, because once you're on the board, you can get anything passed that you want. So the cost of building a home, as we talked about last week, this is really just a recap of last week. Building materials, new construction costs. I was giving you pricing last week where it stands. We're seeing some of these things starting to trend down in the construction industry, with the exception of plumbing, which plumbing materials seem to go up every single year. And if you're building a home, you might need to take out multiple loans. You might need to take out two loans, a construction loan and a land loan, in order to fund the construction of your new home. So you might be taking out a loan to purchase the land, which, by the way, is negotiable. Whenever you're buying land, it is negotiable. But before you buy the land, it might be the area that you've always wanted to get into. Find out what the codes are in that area. Find out what the building codes are. There's things that you can and can't do. Can you tie into public sewer and water? Very, very important things to know. You know, the appliances, we talked about that last week. If you're getting new appliances, then you're not going to have to worry about things breaking down, and they are going to be energy efficient, and they all come with rebates and things like that. But you have to look at your utilities and your permits. It can be expensive to connect to the local utilities, you know, basic utilities. And the permit process for new buildings can be expensive. So you really need to explore the cost. So I would say start, if you're considering a home, start looking at all these costs now. Excavation, we talked about the land that you want to buy. Is it going to have drainage issues? Are there going to be foundation issues that can be a lot to resolve? Is it on a hillside? You know, are you going to have to excavate differently? Are you putting a basement in? These are all things that we talked about. And then just preparing the landscape for your dream home. And again, when you're building a home, it could be a starter home. If you have plenty of land, you can add on to it as time and money permits. So those are really expensive things, and construction requires removal of a great deal of the existing landscaping. And you'll need to consider the cost of planting trees, or are you on a wooded lot? Are you going to keep some of those trees? Those are all things that you have to talk, that you have to really seriously consider when you are doing this. So there's pros and cons to everything that you can do. You know, is building versus buying better? Not necessarily. Just lay it all out. Look at what's going on. Now, there are those move-in condition homes. Let me take a little drink of water here, because I do like to talk. There's move-in condition homes, you know, that really aren't fixer-uppers, that aren't going to need a whole lot of work. Maybe somebody lived there, they did the upgrades that they needed, the appliances are up to date. Awesome. Move-in condition homes are fabulous. The only construction that you're going to have to do there are things that you choose to do. They have the newer roof. It's move-in. You don't have to do a darn tootin' thing. Wouldn't that be nice? And there's fewer risk factors when you find something that's move-in condition. A home loan is less risky when, you know, you have everything. The roof is newer, the appliances are newer, everything is up to par. Just keep in mind those pesky little HOA fees. I'm telling you, you need to know it, and it needs to be disclosed. So we're going to get into that, because that is so important. And negotiation. I'm a big fan of negotiating, but, you know, again, it's still a bit of a seller's market. We're seeing that starting to change a little bit. There is a lot of stress if you get into bidding wars, and it can be really sad when you are looking at a house, and if you know the house is clean, if you know that house that you're looking at is move-in ready, and it is within the fair market price of that area, because sometimes builders or homeowners will go over the asking price. You get into bidding wars and multiple rejection offers. You might put something out there, and they're like, no, we got a higher offer. You can put it out there again. My advice is, if the home qualifies and you can get a mortgage, go a little bit over the asking price if it makes sense to you to be able to do it. It's not necessary, but if you choose to buy an existing home, make sure you have a really good real estate agent too. Remember, real estate fees now are negotiable. They can't just slap that 5% and 6% on top of your loan. I know when I sold my house and then my husband and I bought our new house, that real estate agent made a friggin' killing. A killing. What she made off of the sale of one house and the purchase of a new house was enough for anybody to live for 6 months. I'm telling you. Moderately live. Let's say that too. So keep all of those things in mind, and, you know, keep in mind that if you are buying a move-in ready home, but the appliances aren't so great, you're going to have to take care of doing that too. You're going to have to go through all those approvals. There's so much that comes into play. So with that being said, I'm going to wrap it up after my commercial break, but you are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway. Let's take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back. Hi, it's Carol Holloway. Join me every Monday from 3 to 4 for my show, Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, as we discuss politics, health, family, economy, and just about any topic that we all deal with as we search for answers in today's world. Because things aren't always black and white. Sometimes you can sit on the fence undecided till you get the real facts.
Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, Mondays at 3 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM, WWDBAM.com, or the Odyssey app.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
Hey, Philadelphia homeowners. To build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/philly siding. That's lpcorp.com/philly siding.
Same old day, but there's nothing wrong with a hard hat and a hammer. Kind of glue and sticks.
And we are back. I'm thanking Tyler. I gave him free license to pick music today, and he's doing a really good job. And a hard hat and a hammer is what you're going to find on a construction site when you are building a new home. We're trying to wrap this up. Unexpected costs and delays when you're building a new house can add up quickly, you know, because are you staying in a home that you currently have? Are you renting? Are you staying in a hotel? What are you doing when unexpected costs crop up through project delays and sometimes the cost overruns? These are things that are typically expected. You know, if I'm telling you, if they tell you they can do it in a year, they can't. I have never seen a project completed on time. They always run over, so keep that in mind. Be prepared to pay more almost for everything from the start. Labor shortages could make things happen. If we should have that happen again, right now, we're okay. We're in a safe spot. Build time, it doesn't happen as quickly as you think. Weather plays so much into it. The effort that goes into your home, you know, if they're going to make, you have to approve everything. You, as the person who is building the home, have to approve all the specifications. You have to review the contracts with the top of management, the financial experts of the build, the contractors, all of that. You have to review everything. And if they say they can't do something, you want an explanation why, and you want an immediate upgrade to your contract with what it is and what the cost is going to be. And remember, you can't always find the property that you want in the area that you want. And sometimes it helps to move a little outside of the city areas, move into a more rural or urban area. So what is the bottom line? Building new construction homes may be the only way to make your dreams come true with all the custom features that you want and be totally satisfied, right? But it involves a little bit more expense and time-consuming process than purchasing a house that's already built. So, interested in buying? If you're not sure, check your facts. If you're interested in building, check your facts. Get a breakdown and then decide from there. And start doing the homework now. If you're really not sure and you're saying, you know what, I'm going to wait till we get through this year and look into what next year brings, new people in office in the government, you know, maybe it'll be a pro for me. Maybe it'll be a con. Who knows? Because there is a con running for office. So convicted, by the way. These are things that you really want to pay attention to. And you can also go back and listen to last week's show. That's going to give you a lot more information. So you heard me talk about HOAs. Oh, my goodness. I am so not a fan. I know so many people that live in HOAs, and I have never heard anybody ever say, oh, I love my HOA. They're so cool. No, most people bitch and complain about HOAs because you are so limited on what you can do on the outside of your home. And you need to know the powers and limitations that an HOA can have, including what they can enforce you to do and your rights as a homeowner in an HOA community. Now, keep in mind, people, if you live somewhere and they're all of a sudden they're saying, we're going to turn this community into an HOA, number one, you don't have to join. And number two, you can get a lawyer and you can not have to do that. It might be costly, but I would fight it. 85% of all new construction projects going back to 2021 were part of an HOA, and it's becoming increasingly difficult to find a house that's not in one. So just to give you a little background of HOAs, they are led by volunteer property owners within that subdivision, the condominium complex, or the multifamily housing. And HOAs create and enforce rules known as CC&R, covenants, conditions, and restrictions. What are they? Well, covenants, conditions, and restrictions, otherwise I will refer to as CCRs, are rules governing a certain piece of real estate in a community. They can regulate whether you can have a fence or not, what color it can be, how high it can be, what it looks like. They can regulate everything from your garbage cans to the color you paint your door and your shutters and what you put in your garden. Okay, so keep that in mind. If you're a wildflower, bee-loving, growing kind of gardener, that might not be allowed in an HOA. So you really need to pay attention because no two HOAs are the same and some are more restrictive than others. And that's according to real estate attorney Robert Walker, who says CC&Rs should be read carefully before someone purchases in a community with an HOA. Violation of the covenants may result in fines, legal fees, and even court proceedings. Why do you want a freaking HOA? Somebody call me. If you're in an HOA and you love it, and don't call me if you're on the board. If you're in an HOA and you love it, give me your feedback at 888-329-3306. The lines will be open. Tyler's there to pick up your phone call at 888-329-3306. I want to know if you love your HOA. Most people tell me that the only way that they can change the rules in an HOA, and when I say most people, I'm talking about friends and family that have been in one, and they say that the only way to get something to happen is if you are on the board. You want certain things to happen, get on the board, and guess what? You pass your own laws. It's amazing what HOAs do. It's like the government. They do whatever they want and don't give you all the facts. Okay. So while HOAs can be great because they benefit some communities, you know, like the maintenance of shared areas, they can be expensive and restrictive for you, especially if you're a new homeowner, you're a young homeowner, you're not familiar with HOAs, and there are so many things that they can and can't make you do. So we're going to break it down. Yeah. Let's talk about HOAs. These are some questions that I've seen over the years and that I have heard from, like I said, friends and family that have been in HOAs. And right at the top of the list is a pet. Right. Can an HOA make me get rid of a pet? Well, guess what? In certain cases, they can. Can you believe it? An HOA's CC&R will clearly outline acceptable breeds, sizes, and pet numbers allowed per property. Tyler's over there making faces at me. Yes, they can be very specific. I know. Can you believe it? So if you're trying to bring, your big mastiff into an HOA, they might not allow it. They might not allow pit bulls. You know, you don't know. And the fact that they can allow the number of pets per property, I'm sorry, you can't hide them forever. If your pet is a restricted breed or its size exceeds what the HOA says, the HOA may be within their legal rights to demand that your pet be removed. However, animal services do receive extra protection through the Fair Housing Act, and if it is an emotional support dog or something of that breed or some kind of a support dog for our veterans with PST and things like that, there are exceptions. But Man, you need to know that. If you're a lover of those big, giant dogs, you might not be allowed to have one. So if you already have one or you're thinking of getting one, you want to know what the HOA says. Now, can the HOA make you tear down a structure in your yard? Maybe you put up a little gazebo or something like that because you had the space to do it. Well, guess what? If your structure violates the rules obtained in the CC&R, the HOA can make you take it down. So the outside of your house does not belong to you. Let me make that clear. There are strict rules typically dictating any changes or modifications made to the exterior of your home and will need prior approval by the HOA. Now, my good friend has panes in her glass. You know, she has those grids that are in the glass. I hate them. I want a clear, beautiful view of the outside. I don't want it to be obstructed by the panes in the glass. Well, guess what? She had a fight to get her back patio. Nobody ever sees it. It faces the woods. She had a fight to get them to approve not to make her put the panes in the glass. But for the rest of her home, she cannot get them to approve it because from the outside, tiny boxes in a row, they all look the same. They're all cookie cutter. And with that being said, the same thing for trees. If you're planning on planting a new tree, you need to check with the HOA to ensure that it doesn't violate any landscaping guidelines. So, you know, I'm one of those people that, you know, if somebody passes, a family member, you know, and I want the ashes, if they've been cremated, I want to plant them as a tree. But on an HOA, you can't do that. So they can also make you tear down a fence. That the board did not approve a fence. You did not get approval before the installation. It doesn't fit the community, air quotes here, aesthetic, or has fallen into disrepair. A fence that they approved that over the years, it, like I said, fallen into disrepair. They can make you take it down. They can require you to take it down, whether it's in disrepair or whether you put one up without permission. And this can also happen to, like I said, the existing fence under the CC&R regulations. And as they're updated, you want to know about all the updates because what was good 5 years ago may not be good today. That's why some people go and get on the board, although I hear it's a horrible headache. So now your fence might be in violation of the HOA rules, and they will always be amending the covenants. They're going to add and subtract, and they want people to come and vote for them for the rules that they're going to add. So if you are in an HOA, I highly advise you to go to the meetings and be aware of what they are doing. They should be putting out notes every month when their meetings are and what they will be discussing. You can see their books at any time. You have a right to demand to see the books in their that they're keeping on the outside repairs. Again, bringing up a friend of mine, the HOA just did these ridiculous repairs to the outside sidewalks of everybody's house. It was the stupidest repair I have ever seen throughout the whole community. And I just sat there and I just shook my head and I'm like, really? This is what you're paying for a little line of bricks? Stone, actually, in some places. It was horrible what they did. And it got approved. So I use a very good friend of mine as an example because she bucks the system with the HOA all the time. I remember in her old condo, and I talked about this on the show before, they went around painting all the doors, and there were three color choices that the board picked. I think it was a blue, a white, and a yellow. Those were the choices, and they happened to paint her door the ugliest one of the three colors. I'm not going to say what it was because you might like one of those colors. And so when she came home and saw her door was painted, she went out and bought like a hot pink color and painted her door hot pink. And then she spent the next several months in a fight with the HOA, which she ultimately lost and had to pay a lot of money and they won. They got the money, and she had to paint the door back to the original color. So the HOA can require you to paint, to keep the exterior of your home the colors that they outline in their guides. Oh my goodness. Including what acceptable paint colors and maintenance are required. And the HOA will require you to paint peeling or fading exterior paint to comply with the community's uniform appearance. Yes, they can do all that. So let's keep talking before I take another commercial break. A CC&R cannot dictate how you paint the inside of your house or what you do to the inside of your house. They're not allowed to come in. But I saw somebody just over the summer that was doing a repair to a door. A repair to an existing door that was code for the HOA. And the HOA was all over that poor kid saying, let me see your permit. What are you doing? Who gave you permission? Did you get an approval for a repair? So be aware that in HOAs, I find that there are snitches. I know. It's like a communist country, in my opinion, in an HOA. What? Do you have a question, Tyler? Yes. That's pretty much how it is. Yes. Here's another one. We're in a highly toxic, volatile political election right now. And guess what? An HOA can make you take down political signs if you live in a state that does not protect the right to display them. So again, using my very good friend, love her dearly, as an example, she cannot put up any political signs, not even in the window of the that faces the street. She can't even put a political sign up. So HOAs have rules in place to limit or ban political signs in an effort, again, to maintain aesthetic standards in the community. Oh my gosh. However, if you live in a state that protects the right to display political signs, usually within 30 to 60 days of an election, these laws override HOA laws. So if you want to check, like, we're less than, what, 26 days away from an election? Go put them in your windows, people. Go put them in your windows and let them tell you to get them out. And then you can say, well, I'm checking the laws. And by the time you get around to removing them, the election will be over. And hopefully we will be a unified country again and not divided. So here is a really important question before I take a quick commercial break. Can an HOA enter your home without permission? Likely.
Actually, I do have a ruling on that, I believe.
Go ahead.
Don't they have keys to every single house in the HOA usually?
No. No.
I actually have heard word that some HOAs require you to give a copy of your key to the HOA leader.
Well, I'll tell you what, during commercial break, we're going to look that up. But according to Robert Walker, who is an attorney and owner of the Bayshore Title and Escrow PC, this is in Massachusetts, and he's been an attorney there for 20 years, and he's also worked in real estate and the mortgage industry. He says, no, they may not enter a dwelling without permission or a court proceeding, Walker says. However, with prior notification, they can access exterior common areas like garages and backyards to investigate a suspicious rule violation. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. And you know what? Let's look that up and see, because in Pennsylvania, that's a possibility. So since I have my handy dandy computer here, let's take a quick commercial break. You are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway, and we will be right back.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
Hey, Philadelphia homeowners, to build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/philly siding. That's lpcorp.com/philly siding.
Hi, it's Carol Holloway. Join me every Monday from 3 to 4 for my show, Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, as we discuss politics, health, family, economy, and just about any topic that we all deal with as we search for answers in today's world. Because things aren't always black and white. Sometimes you can sit on the fence undecided till you get the real facts.
Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, Mondays at 3 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM, WWDBAM.com, or the Odyssey app.
Keep playing it. Tyler, that was great. That band is called Stretch with Black Oxygen. I hate the HOA. I cannot believe you found such a song that was so perfect.
It was a little weird choice, but, you know, it just came up the first thing I said. Like, songs about the HOA. Oh, but, okay, the first thing is I hate the HOA.
And people do. And here's the deal. To answer your question about keys to the HOA, you need to look at your CC&R in Pennsylvania. Okay, I'm just doing Pennsylvania because here we are in Ballard-Kinwood. That will tell you whether you need to give the HOA keys to your home in Pennsylvania depending on the governing documents for your development and applicable state law. These documents may include whether the HOA has a right to enter your home under normal circumstances, whether they have a right to enter your home in an emergency, whether they have the right to enter your home for maintenance, whether the HOA has a right to enter your home to inspect for violations, and how much advance notice they must give you, and what to do if an HOA representative enters your home without following the rules of the state. Oh my goodness. So they can. Can you believe it? And I also found this. Here we go. Yes, the HOA can enter your home in Pennsylvania in certain circumstances. Emergencies can enter your home to address emergencies like a like a leak or smoke coming from your unit. Maintenance. To perform maintenance or repairs on common elements such as plumbing or air ducts. My mother had to do that when she lived in Traditions, a retirement community, age 55 or older. They were allowed to come in.
That's insanity.
It is insanity. Oh my gosh. Rule violations. The HOAs can enter your home. Now remember, this is in the CC&R, otherwise known as Covenants, Conditions, and Restrictions. Read them carefully. Okay, and if you're not sure, see a lawyer. The HOA can enter your home to inspect for rule violations, such as broken rules regarding lawn ornaments or outside decor or your pets. Oh my gosh, they are required to provide notice before entering your home. However, if your HOA bylaws include an implement consent clause, they may be able to enter your home without consent. So HOAs are governed, for all of you out there that need to know this, because I hate them. hate's such a strong word. I dislike them immensely. They are governed by the Uniform Planned Community Act, otherwise known as the UPCA, which outlines their regulations for planned communities with more than 12 units. HOAs have the power to enforce the rules and regulations of the community, which are considered agreed upon by the homeowner when you move into that HOA. So they have a lot of power. I'm sorry. So get yourself on the board. You know, if you don't like the way your HOA is being run, if you are concerned, now they might not vote you in. It is volunteer. But if they don't like you, they're not going to let you on the board. If you're like me, an instigator, kind of a little bit of a troublemaker, just a teeny weeny little bit. then the HOA might not let me on the board, which is why I would never join one. The HOA has the authority to enforce the rules and regulations and the bylaws and the covenants because you agreed to them. Yes. So, and just so you know, the UPCA, which is located in Title 68 of Chapters 51 through 54 of the Pennsylvania General Assembly, which governs homeowners associations in the state of Pennsylvania. So if you think that your HOA is acting out of control or above and beyond what they should be doing, go to the Title 68 of Chapters 51 through 54 of the Pennsylvania General Assembly that governs homeowners associations in our state, and they have them in every state. So New Jersey, Maryland, Delaware, if you're listening, these rules apply to you too. And then you can go ahead and challenge them. And if you don't pay your homeowners fees, okay, this is really important, people. The association can typically charge you overdue assessment, late charges, interest fees, various fees, collection costs, and they might choose to foreclose and put a lien on your property. Who'd have thunk that they had this much power? A stupid HOA. Go ahead, Tyler.
They don't sound like this little tiny organization. It sounds like a Gestapo almost.
Doesn't it? Play that music again. It does. It sounds like a Gestapo because the board, which is volunteer people, make the laws for your association. So if you don't want to live in a Gestapo and if you feel that they're being really, really strict, get on the board for your HOA or at least be friendly with the people that are and show up at the meetings. I cannot tell you how many people do not show up at their HOA meetings and rules get passed. I mean, seriously. So it's really important that you know what is going on. By the way, the statute, the Pennsylvania statute of limitations for collecting HOA debt, 4 years in the state of Pennsylvania. The statute of limitation period for HOA claims are different in every state. So here in Pennsylvania, consumer debt such as HOA and condo fees have a statute of limitation of 4 years. So if you've been doing this all along and they haven't filed within 4 years, they can't like all of a sudden do something. It's amazing. So the HOA board president is vested, typically with the same powers given to a CEO of a corporation.
Well, that's one way to get on your bad side.
Exactly. So I feel that there's so many disadvantages because they can raise those HOA fees whenever they feel like it. Of course, it has to be voted on. But if nobody's showing up at the meetings, guess what? They're going to vote. So the HOA, the Homeowners Association offers a range of benefits. Of course, they maintain the outside of your house and, you know, they paint the doors and they paint the shutters and they pave the driveway and the streets and things like that. But, and you know, it's supposed to give you that strong sense of community. You know, let's face it, but I know a lot of people that are in HOAs that are not friends with their neighbors. As a matter of fact, some of them don't like them at all. So there are certain drawbacks, like I said, those mandatory fees, those restrictive laws, the potential for mismanagement, stealing funds. So people, pay attention. Get involved in your HOA. I mean, oh my gosh, I cannot believe the stuff that they could do. I have been reading up on this, and I was like, I've totally got to include this in why you want to buy or build a new home, not in an HOA. And, you know, there are ways to get around an HOA. There really are, even with mandatory HOA rules. Here are some of the options that are available to you if you want to get rid of the HOA. Number one, just sell your house and get the hell out. Seriously. Invoke what they call a de-annexation clause. Now, let me see if I can pull some more of that up. Wait for the HOA membership to end and get on the board. You could be grandfathered out of an HOA if they try to put an HOA in your development. and your house has been there for a certain amount of time, you can be grandfathered out of the HOA and there's nothing that they can do. And believe it or not, the residents of an HOA can organize just like a union to dissolve an HOA. I love that idea. I love that idea. So you can get together and you can dissolve your HOA. I mean, seriously, it's such a bureaucracy and there's so many restrictions and the fees and the conflicts and just trying to not have panes in your windows and just have the nice, beautiful glass without those grids inside. Of course, you want panes of glass. You don't want those grids in your windows that obstruct your view. I mean, seriously, it's crazy. So pay attention. I mean, they do try to get together. They do make it look nice. I mean, there is safety. They create and enforce rules within your HOA. They manage all the spending of whatever that fee is that you pay every month. But an HOA must establish and share the expectations with the homeowners. So people within the community should always know what to expect from an HOA. So it keeps property values stable. That's a good thing, right? That's one of the biggest advantages of an HOA is the consistent property values, that even though they have rules and standards, they have curb appeal. And you've heard me talk on my show about curb appeal. Curb appeal is everything when you are selling a home or just in general. Don't you want your house to look nice instead of trash? In my opinion. So well-maintained, neighborhood safe translates into better property values in the long run and that sense of community. And a lot of HOAs offer amenities. So let's talk about those real quick. Well, I have just a couple minutes left. Some HOAs offer private amenities to residents like pools, swimming pools, fitness centers, clubhouses, walking paths, playgrounds, picnic areas, and you get the right to enjoy them. And they really shouldn't cost you any more because it should be covered, other than renting out like a clubhouse for a party or something. That should all be covered. And they are responsible for maintaining those areas, not you. But HOAs have had conflicts and you have to mediate and resolve disputes that can arise between homeowners in an area. So those are important rules. There is a book out there called Is It a Good HOA Rule? And it's those five questions every board member needs to ask before passing new rules and regulations. So this is while they benefit the homeowners association, it might not be right for everyone. So there are HOA rules, the HOA dues and fees, HOA mismanagement. I hear a lot about that too. So there is a guide out there called A Beginner's Guide to HOAs. If you're interested, I found it on hubassociationonline.com if you want to learn the basics and know more about common HOA budgeting mistakes and how you can avoid them. And if you want to add, like, you can't even add solar panels. If you want solar panels on your home, you can't even add solar panels. So crazy. Anyway, what's coming up in some of our upcoming shows? We are going to be talking about trying to book this right now, the insurance company mass exodus. Homeowners are in crisis mode and it's only getting worse. So people in a number of states are finally nearly impossible to secure homeowners insurance, and they may live, they may have to abandon their homes. We're hearing this down since the hurricanes have hit, and that's going to happen along the Jersey Shore eventually, all along the coast, the East and the West Coast, and other areas as well. So I have an expert that I want to bring online to talk about exploring state-backed insurance, self-insurance, relying on federal assistance, and all of that different stuff. So we're trying to book that one for next week. If it's not next week, it'll be in the following week. And that'll be with Robin Nunn, who will be able to help us understand all of the intricacies of insurance companies. And insurance is getting increasingly more expensive for all of us. I think it's corporate price gouging when it comes to the insurance companies. They take in all that money. I actually saw somebody post the other day, if I've had my homeowner's insurance for 10 years and have never used it, shouldn't they give me a refund of some sort? I kind of agree with that because they've collected all that money. And that money that they collect pays for these disasters that are happening. So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts. If you've missed any of my shows in the past, and I'll tell you what, there are some really good ones out there. Make sure you go and listen to my podcast. And don't forget to listen to my other show, Tell Me More with Carol Holloway. We're doing a lot on that show talking about scamming and cybersecurity. Over the next couple weeks, we started our first in a series of three yesterday. So, and that's on Mondays from 3 to 4. And of course, thank you for joining me here. I appreciate your questions, your thoughts, and your comments. Make it a great week, pay it forward, and do something nice for someone. Thanks for listening.
There ain't nothing wrong with this old house. It just needs a little home.